So I've been kind of joking around with people a little bit about how, like, I've been waiting 10 weeks to be able to preach a sermon. Like, literally, I haven't stood behind a pulpit in 10 weeks, and so I got a lot of stuff to say, right? But what I'm going to do, rather than try to cram it all in today, because you might have lunch plans or something, I guess, is I'm actually going to take about 6 or 7 weeks and kind of lay some stuff out, because there was something that happened when I was on sabbatical, right? So again, it was really cool. I had this really awesome time to focus and really listen to the Lord and man, he told me some things about me that we'll get to that later on. We don't even have time for that today. But even in regard to the church and that kind of stuff, and what was interesting with all of it was that how when the Lord would say one thing, and then he would open my mind up to this other thing that seemed to be opposite, right? And so what we're going to do is I just want to work through what I'm referring to as these gospel paradoxes, right? The paradox is these two truths that are both true but appear to be kind of opposite to each other, appear to be sort of not in line with each other, right? Almost the idea of like stopping and going at the same time. We'll get to that eventually. But it's the idea of these two truths that are both true, but yet we need to hold them in our hands at the same time. There were so many times where I felt like the Lord was giving me this gospel paradox. And so what we're going to do as a congregation over the next several weeks is we're just going to kind of break down some of these things, because if I have to deal with the Lord dropping this on my lap, then I'm going to make you do it too. And because misery loves company, right? And so we're all just going to try to hear a word from the Lord and figure out, like, God, what does it look like for us to hold these truths at the same time that appear to be going in different directions, and how can we be faithful to that, right? So with that in mind, today we're going to talk about and look into what it means to love deeply, right? Now, let me be clear. This is not to say that we as a congregation don't love at all, right? But one of the things, and I don't want to preach my sermon before I preach my sermon, but one of the things that the Lord really opened my eyes to is that there is a reservation that is within myself, of which I am not letting people into. And I personally need to learn how to love deeply with people, particularly the individuals that I'm discipling, but even with the church as a whole, right? And so we're going to dive into a little bit about what that looks like. However, next week, we're going to talk about coming to the Lord with open hands, which is sort of a place of surrender, right? And so this is the paradox that we're going to look at over the next 2 weeks, is how is it that we can love deeply and like build strong relationships with people, but then yet also have open hands that would allow the Lord to lead us and them wherever it is that he would have them to go, no matter how much we love them, right? So, you know, one of the things that was... That was interesting about sabbatical was that while the first 2 weeks of, one of the things that I found out was that I focus on things in a really weird way, right? Because of, you know, I mean, let's be honest, there might be a touch of ADD in there somewhere, right? And so focus doesn't really come naturally and everything. And so, like, one of the things that I found is that as I was reading, which again, for those of you who know me like at all, like that's not really something that I do a whole lot of, and so that was like something I really had to press into. And so for me, when I was reading, I would get distracted really easily. So about every half an hour or so, I'd have to like get up and go somewhere else. Like I'd go outside and sit in the hammock for a little bit and read. I'd come in, I'd go up to the office, and we got a little chair up there, and then I'd get sleepy, and then I'd go downstairs and find somewhere else, and you know, there'd be noise, and so I'd have to go find somewhere else. And so I'm constantly having to move to stay focused because I keep getting distracted on other stuff, right? I also found in this time that my family focuses very, very differently, right? And I told Beth ahead of time anyway, that I was going to kind of tell on them a little bit. My wife, I don't even know how she focuses on anything, I'm going to be honest with you. So when she works, She works from home 3 days a week, and as she's working, she almost always has like her phone open with some sort of show playing on her phone as she's working on her computer, right? And she says, I don't get it, just so you know, but Ben Arthur does, just so you know, he does the same thing. She says that having that background noise actually helps her focus on what she's doing. I see lots of head nodding. I don't have any idea what you all are talking about. Like, that makes no sense to me whatsoever, right? But I get it. Like, it's okay. You don't need to focus like I focus. I'm just saying, like, I don't get it. But that's how she does it. There's that something in the background, and in that she's focused on the work that she's doing, but it's just that noise. It's almost like a white noise kind of thing, right? That is just there. Now, what's really funny, though, is Friday nights at my house, we do like pizza and movies, right? Well, let me just tell you, when pizza's done and it's time for movies, my kids know how to focus on movies, right? The lights are out, right? They're getting seating as close to the TV as possible, right? You're not allowed to talk, right? To the point where, like, if you do talk, you get shushed. We had some conversations on that, trust me. Right? When the movie's over, they're like, oh, can we watch one more? Can we watch one more? Like they are, like, locked in, laser-focused on those movies, right? We have very, very different ways of focusing. What I want to do today is I want to kind of use this idea of focus to think about how it is that we are loving deeply and how it is that we can actually grow in that together. So before we get into all that, though, let's just pause for a moment of prayer. God, we do thank you so much for your presence here among us. We recognize, Lord, that you are here, and we thank you, Father, for your word. Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth would be yours, Father, that your message alone would be proclaimed in this place, God, that your kingdom would come and that your will would be done, Father, and that you would give us the courage to say yes to you no matter what it is that you're challenging us with, Father. We submit ourselves to you, God. Yes. Have your way in us, no matter what. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we jump into this here, I first want to just look at the fact and understand the fact that God loves us deeply. Amen. Right? In its most basic understanding of this, I think we can get even just from the simple verse of John 3:16, right? God so loved the world, right, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have eternal life, right? With everything going crazy in the background of the world, God was laser focused on loving us, right? So think of it sort of like with Beth and her whole work situation there, right? Like everything going crazy on one screen, and yet God is laser focused on loving us, laser focused on sending his own Son in order that we might have eternal life. All the noise in the background is there, like all the stuff that needs fixed is there, and in the midst of that, he loves us so much that he sent his own Son into all of that noise in order that we might be saved by grace through faith, right? That is the deep, focused love that God has for us. In fact, even while we were, not even just while the noise was happening, but even while we were sinners, even while we were walking in opposition to who God is and his plan for our lives, even while we were going against God, he still was laser focused on loving us. He was focused on loving us. What I love about this is that God doesn't wait for us to look right before he loves us. God doesn't wait for us to have all of our questions answered before he loves us, right? God doesn't wait for us to get it all figured out before he loves us. No, you just need to know God loves you However messed up you are, he loves you. No matter how fixed up you appear, he loves you. No matter how long you've been walking with him, he loves you. No matter how long you've been walking away from him, he still loves you. Like, God loves you to pieces. And I know that you've got some noise in your life, and I know there's a lot going on in the background. I don't know, there's a lot of big issues that we really want God to take care of right now, like world hunger and world peace and all these kinds of things. But even in the midst of all of those things, God is laser focused on loving you. Absolutely and totally. In Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 37, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Through him who loves us. Hallelujah. See, the good news of Jesus is that victory has been accomplished through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The good news of Jesus Christ is that you can't earn that victory, right? The good news is that you can't be good enough to earn that for yourself, but rather God has simply given that to you because he loves you so much. He knows that the persecution and the hardship and the trouble, he knows all that is out there in the background, but none of that actually deletes or diminishes the fact that his victory is real. So no matter what you are going through, no matter how hard your life is, it does not take away the victory of God that is available to us. There is nothing, because his love is beyond all of that. And his love is in the midst of all of that. See, I think sometimes we get in our minds that like if God really loved us, then he would keep those things from happening to us. And the good news that I want to share with you today is that even when those things are happening, God's love cannot be stopped. Like, I don't care what you've gone through, and I don't care what you're going to go through, because if you haven't gone through a hard time yet, it's coming. Yeah. Amen, Pastor. I waited 10 weeks to be able to say that right there, right? If you haven't gone through, and let me just tell you right now, trouble found me on sabbatical. Maybe it found you while I was away as well. If it hasn't, you better get prayed up, because something's going to come. God never promised that a trouble-free life. Never once did he ever say. In fact, they probably don't want to tell you this, but Jesus actually told his disciples they were going to be persecuted. Like, that was a promise. Like, we'll keep going there. We don't have time for those kind of promises. But the reality is, like, God never promised that the life would be easy. And so for people who would say, oh, well, God really loved me, then he would keep these things from happening. And what I just want to reassure you with today is that no matter what happens to you, it can't stop God's love. It can't stop God's love. It doesn't mean God doesn't love you. In fact, let's just say that it goes so bad that for whatever reason you actually lost your life, that does not mean that the love of God is any less powerful in your life. Just because he didn't save your life doesn't mean that the love of God is not present in your life. And it doesn't mean that he doesn't have an eternity for your life. And it doesn't mean that he doesn't have purpose for your life right now. Like, God loves you so much that nothing can stop it. You can't stop it. I can't stop it. The world can't stop it. God loves us, and there is nothing you can do about it.
Amen.
Nothing. Isn't that awesome? Because I don't know how messed up you are, but I sure know how messed up I am. And no matter how messed up I get, there's nothing I can do that can keep God from loving me. How awesome is that? Right? And this is the sort of the love context, if you will, that God brings us into, right? And he expects then, in response, that we are going to love him deeply.
Amen.
Right?
Amen. Yes.
Now, the idea here, particularly in John 3:16, is that we would believe in him. Now, this to be clear, this doesn't just mean that we acknowledge that he exists, because even Scripture talks about the fact that demons know he exists, and they shudder, right? But they don't submit to him. That's very different. Well, I mean, they do. Another day. Anyway, you know what I'm saying. So it's not just a matter of acknowledging that God exists, but that we actually trust that following Jesus is the only way to live life. Following Jesus is the only way to God, to this relationship with God himself. We trust him enough to actually let him change us, right? To change us from who we were into who we're supposed to be, like who he has recreated us to be. Like, we trust God enough to actually do that in us. We don't just acknowledge that God is just on the other screen, right, while we're just living our own distracted life over here. No, but we actually make God the focus of our lives. That's part of what it looks like for us to love God deeply, is we know that there are distractions out there, but instead of focusing on the distraction and just knowing that God is in the background, instead we submit ourselves to God as the focus of our lives, and we throw everything else to the background.
Yes.
In fact, if you think about it, like, baptism is this communication, right? That I have trusted God to change me from dead to alive through my faith in Jesus.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
It's this way of saying that by faith I have changed my focus from here to here.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
The noise is still there, but my focus is not on the noise. I recognize that Jesus is Lord, and my focus is now in him. I submit myself to Jesus.
Yes.
While the noise is still there, I no longer submit myself to that. Right? In the New Testament, particularly in John 15, which we're going to read a couple of verses of here in just a moment, the idea of loving God deeply is reflected in this idea of abiding in Christ, or remaining in Christ, right? And so in John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5, it says, "Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, then you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing."
That's it.
Right? So again, think about this, and I promise, I told Beth I was going to use this illustration a lot, and this is not to say that she works in a bad way or anything. It's just a really good illustration for focus and everything here. It really is. Think about it in this way. So in regard to, like, how Beth does her work, right, she's focused on the work that she has to do, and the funny thing is she's able to get a whole lot more work done at home than she ever does, like, at work, right? I don't have time for that today. And so she's focused on the work she has to do, even though there is this stuff playing in the background. See, the problem comes when we allow the stuff that's in the background to become our place of focus, and then we just relegate God to the background, right? We know he's there. Like, we believe God is there, right? He's on the screen. Like, we know that show is playing, right? And we might actually look at it on a Sunday morning or something like that. We know that it's there, but we focus on everything else in life, and then we'll kind of touch in every once in a while. Like, once the music gets intense, then we'll look back to God and see kind of what's going on over there and everything. But this idea of abiding in Christ. Now, see, then you want to look more like my kids watching a movie. Right? See, when you're abiding in Christ, it's a matter of, okay, the lights are going out. I'm going to get as close to the screen as possible, right? I'm not letting anybody else distract me. And it's going to be so intense. It's going to be so awesome that by the time I get done with this, all I'm going to want is more. Right? That's the idea. That's the sort of the mental picture that I want you to get here. Like there might be other stuff going on or whatever like that. The dog might be running around. Parents are doing their own thing, right? Food on the table that needs put away that they ain't even worried about. I ain't got time. Sorry, my bad. I got off track there. My bad. See, my focus is not so good either. But they are laser focused. That's the same idea of what it looks like to abide and remain in Christ. That I know there's a lot of other stuff going on out there, but I'm going to limit some of what I see in order that I can focus on the one thing that I have to see. Right? I'm gonna turn all the lights out so that God looks brighter than he ever has, right? I'm gonna make sure that everybody else is quiet so I can hear a word from him, because I know that that's the only thing that's gonna change my life, right? That's the idea of abiding and remaining in him. And you know, as we do that, sometimes you might even need to focus like I do. Because sometimes you might just need to get up and walk away from some things. There's some distractions that kind of pop up. Like you might be just living your life, abiding in the Lord, and all this stuff. Just things just kind of pop up, right? And in those times, you might find that you need to walk away from some things. You might need to walk away from some people, in order that you can really focus on who God is and abide in your relationship in Christ. You might need to get up and walk away from some attitudes that you've been holding on to for way too long, because you know that isn't producing the fruit of God's Holy Spirit in your life. Amen. You might need to actually get up and walk away from some literal places that you go to.
That's right.
In order that you might be able to just turn the lights out on everything else, in order that God might be ever brighter in your life. Like, these are real things that we need to really think through about how is it that we can really abide in Christ and really focus on him and who he is for us. See, the good news of Jesus is that you can't do this on your own. But as you abide and remain with Jesus, he will give you the strength to do it.
Yes, he does.
He will. That's what's so amazing about it. Like, and that's why, like, it's so important to have these rhythms of reading your Bible and being in prayer. That's part of this abiding in Christ. Even being in community with others in terms of community groups and that kind of stuff. Like, even being together in worship here today. Like sometimes it can feel like you're just checking the boxes, but as you actually like put your heart into these opportunities, the box checking actually becomes life transformation. And you begin to hear some things from God that if you didn't put yourself in position to hear from God's word in that way, you would have never got it, right?
Right?
But as you start walking in those rhythms, you begin to hear his voice. It's amazing how when we set our hearts to abide in Christ, all of a sudden the microphone goes up a little bit more, right?
Yes.
It's kind of like in the mornings, I'll get up. And sometimes if I'm going to work out or something like that, I'll just turn on a video or something like that in the living room. Well, it's funny how on Friday night when we're watching movies, the TV has to be set at 40, right? But on Saturday morning, if I'm going to work out, like, it better be on 4, right? Because when it's crazy quiet, you can hear really, really well. You notice that? You notice that's part of what happens when we are abiding in Christ. When you can get other stuff to just shut up and be quiet, right? It's amazing how much you can hear from God.
Amen. Right? Amen.
It all starts as we are intentional to abide in Christ. All right, now here's the funny part of my notes that I have written down here. And that is that for this next point, I actually have parenthetically on the side, if there is time. It's going to be close. All right, here we go. it is real. I'll show you later. I even underlined it because I didn't want to miss it. But here's the deal. And these last two are going to go real quick. And so here's the point. So we understand that God loves us deeply. We understand that ought to move us into loving God deeply as well, right? Which then ought to also move us into loving others deeply,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
We know that God loves us deeply. There's nothing we can do about it. We, in response to that, need that by faith love God deeply and truly seek to abide in him. And that's where we're being discipled by somebody else. Like, may, you may not even know where to start when it comes to abiding in him, but when you connect with someone else who's more spiritually mature than you are and can kind of help walk you through that, man, that is so powerful to help you get there. But then, even this idea then of then moving to loving others deeply. See, if we're going to believe in God, we have to do what he tells us to do.
Amen.
We can't say we believe God and say that we trust him with our lives and then not actually trust him to do what he tells us to do, right? And what he tells us to do is to love others. See, Jesus thought that it was actually vitally important not only to love God, but also to love other people, right? And you ask, well, why is that so important? Well, it's because he knew what we read back in Romans chapter 8, verses 35-37. He knew the persecution was coming. He knew the hardship was coming. He knew the that all the difficult things of life were going to come. And in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, it says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. Church, I want you to know, the church was designed to be able to handle the hard stuff in life. The reason we're together is because you're going to have hard times and I can be there for you. But we're also together because I'm going to have hard times and I need you to be there for me. Like, we are born. There's a reason why the Bible refers to us as brothers and sisters in Christ. Because we are family, and family, according to Proverbs 17 here, is designed for the hard stuff in life. See, we have to put ourselves in a position where we not only just believe God with our head, but that we actually do what he tells us to do in loving others deeply. So that when we struggle, we are there to actually hold each other up. Which leads then even into the mission that God has given us. See, not only do we have to love each other, but we have to love the world. If you go back to John 3:16, it said that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. See, I think we've done a really great job of discipling each other as part of the church. I don't know that we've done a great job of reaching out to the world. And so we have to be intentional to actually find ways in which we can connect with the world. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and invite the worship team up now, because this is going to be my close. I promise it is. We need to make sure that we move beyond just good morals and good manners, okay? Now, again, don't hear what I'm not saying, okay? I didn't say go be rude in the name of Jesus, all right? I didn't say get on Facebook and blast everybody and then say because Jesus said so. I didn't say that. That's not what I said, all right? But what I am saying is that the world needs people who actually know the love of God in their lives, have been changed by the love of God in their lives, and can then share the love of God in their lives. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Your good morals and your good manners aren't going to save anybody. Only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus can do that. So you can say please and thank you all day long. That's awesome, right? You can be on the right side of every political issue. That's great. But until you introduce people to Jesus, they're going to end up in a sinner's hell with everybody else. We have to give people Jesus. We have to know and live in the love of God in order that we might be able to share that with others. So here's three questions I'm going to leave you with, and then I'm going to get out of here, all right? Three questions I want you to think about. And maybe one of these is right where you are. Maybe one of these questions is what you really need to focus yourself on. The first question is just simply, where is the focus of your life? We all have those two screens, right? One of them is full of distraction, and one of them is God and every purpose that he has in our lives. Which one are we actually focused on, and which one is in the background, right? Second question is, what is one thing that you can do today or this week to love God and others more deeply? Like, not just the surface stuff of, you know, I might send a text or whatever like that, but like what is it to really love God and others more deeply? Like, what is a way in which you can really abide in Christ? Like take that relationship with the Lord to a whole nother level, right? And then finally, what's the next step of faith that you need to respond to God's love? What's the next step of faith that you need to take in response to God's love. Maybe that step is just simply to say, you know what, like, I've heard from the Lord, and I'm just thankful that He loves me, and I want to love Him too. I want to become a Jesus follower. I've never actually said I was going to follow Jesus before, but I recognize, you know what, He loves me crazy, and I know I need to love Him too. I know I need to obey Him. You know, I've had God in the background for too long, and I want to make Him the center of my life, right? For those that want to be Jesus followers, it's as simple as just saying, you know what, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I need Jesus, and I believe beyond just my acknowledgement that He is, but I believe in Him so much, I know He's the Savior, and I know that I need to change the focus of my life on Him, right? If that's the prayer that you want to pray today, I'd love to pray with you. Maybe there's another step of faith that God is challenging you to take, even now, as He challenged me over these last 10 weeks. As we sing these couple of songs, I want to invite you to really make that commitment to the Lord today. In fact, if you would, stand with me, please. We're going to sing these songs, and as we do, I just want you to really press into Him. How is it that the Lord is challenging you, and what would your yes look like to Him? What would your response to these questions look like today? Let Him have His way in you.